Love God. Lift others. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's our very special guest, Elevate Life Church worship pastor, Dr. Sky Davis.
How many believe they have the victory today? No, seriously. How many of you believe that you have the victory today? Amen. 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 Well, we give honor today. We give reverence to the Spirit of the Lord that is in the house. We give recognition and honor to our leaders, Pastor Sergio and Pastor Tina. Can we celebrate our leaders this morning? You know you can do better than that, right? Can we celebrate our leaders this morning? You can do better than that. Amen. 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 And just to all of you that are here, all of God's people, we thank God. We thank God for Pastor Willard. And just, again, just for the presence of the Lord that is in this atmosphere. Do you feel the Lord this morning? I said, do you feel the Lord this morning? Amen. Amen. Before we jump into the word, I just want to give one quick announcement for those of you that will be joining us tonight. Make sure you bring your lawn chair, all right? So those that are going to be coming to view the filming of The Chosen, make sure that you bring your lawn chair if you can. That way you have adequate seating. Amen? Amen. Are you ready for the word? Amen. Amen. Again, we just give honor and reverence to the Spirit of the Lord that is here. Those of you that know me, I've had the opportunity to grace this wonderful pulpit once before, and I said it very clearly, and I'm going to say it one more time, if that's okay, for those of you that may not have been here the last time, but I'm an old school preacher. That means that I want y'all to talk back to me, all right? So if I say amen, that didn't sound too good. If I said say amen, all right, listen, if you will help me get up the mountain, I promise you I can roll down it all by myself. Is that all right? Amen. We're going to be coming from the book of 1 Samuel. That is where we will plant our sail this morning. I want to talk to you about something that is in particularly very important, especially for where we are as a body of believers, not just within the context of our specific church, but as we look at the body across the demographic, we see that there is something that we must get better at as our response to the goodness and the mercy of God. And that is something that we've seen Pastor Sergio speak to, and it is something that I want to deal with this morning. And so as a thought, I'm going to deal with the subject, and I want you all to help me preach this if you can. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, your praise can get you out of your barrenness. Now, see, you didn't say it the way I wanted you to say it to that neighbor. So I want you to look at your other neighbor and say, neighbor, your praise, come on, say, your praise can get you out of barrenness. All right, listen, really quickly, we're going to talk about this. And listen, I want you to get excited. I really do, because we need to have an attitude and a posture of praise. You see that it is the praise that God inhabits in. It is the praise of the saints of God where the Lord is able to dwell in, and through him dwelling, he can move through every situation and circumstance. And so it is because if we praise him, then we can trust and be assured that no matter what it is that we face, no matter what the circumstances are, he will be in the midst. So we've got to have an attitude, a posture that says, Lord, no matter what it may look like in my life, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter the situations, I will praise you. Oh, I don't have a talk back church this morning. Listen, I need you to get excited with this revelation that no matter what it is that I'm facing, I can praise him. And when I praise him, doors will open. When I praise him, situations will change. When I praise him, I get the victory in my life. I wish I had about 5 people in this house that can truly declare that I will praise him. And my circumstances will not dictate or determine my praise. No, I will not let my situation determine how much I'll praise him. I won't let my family determine how much I'll praise him. I will praise him. Ooh, good God, today I feel the Holy Ghost. So listen, we're going to be talking from 1 Samuel, the first chapter. We're going to go through a few of these verses. I want to set the stage here because there is something that is very revelatory that we need to see and understand in the text. So we're going to go again, 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we're going to start at verse 1. Those of you that are actually saved, go ahead and pull out your paper Bible. Those of you that ain't, go ahead and pull out your laptops and all that other good stuff. You know, you're not saved unless you paper Bible save. Amen. Amen. But we're going to be talking from 1 Samuel chapter 1, and I'm going to go through these verses, and then we'll step back and we'll actually maneuver through. Is that all right? All right, so let's go in. Chapter 1, verse 1, it reads, there was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zuphite, from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zeph, an Ephrathite. He had 2 wives, one who was called Hannah, and the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Verse 3 goes on to say, year after year, this hardworking man, he went up from his town and he would worship and he would sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the 2 sons of Eli, were both priests of the Lord. And verse 4 says, whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife, Peninnah, and to all of her sons and daughters. But verse 5 says, but to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her so. And the Lord had closed her womb. And so because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival continued to provoke her in order to irritate. And this went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her until she wept and would not eat. And her husband, Elkanah, would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you so downhearted? Do I not mean more to you than 10 sons? Let's stop right there for a moment. Let's kind of break some of this down before we get into the meat. We see a situation with a woman who is married to a man, and the man loves her very much. In fact, this woman receives much favor from her husband. He's married to 2. She can't have children. Now, those of you that study ancient scripture, those of you that look at Old Testament scripture, those of you that look at even New Testament, the concept of a woman that was barren, it spoke really more so to purpose. It spoke to identity. If a woman could not bear children, then she had no true purpose. If a woman could not bear children, then she didn't have a true identity of who she was. And so we see here in scripture, Hannah was barren. She could not have children, and she felt less than in a situation where she even received more favor than the one that could have children. But she still could not find herself. She still could not see her identity of who she was. And so we see her husband, who the Bible declares is a faithful man. The Bible declares that this man loves her. He favors her. And this man was also a constant worshiper. In fact, he would take the time to consistently spend time in a place of worship. He would go to the temple and he would worship the Lord. He would go to the temple and he would praise and give honor to God. And this was a consistent, habitual practice. And so in the scripture, what we've read is that this woman, Hannah, constantly finds herself being ridiculed because she does not have the ability to do what those around her can. Let me make it a little bit more clear. Let's make it a little bit more plainer. Let's make it a little bit more meaningful to us. She's in a place where she cannot see truly who she is. She's in a position where she cannot actually see the purpose for her life. And all of those people that are around her seem to be walking and thriving in purpose. They seem to have plenty. And she's got the favor, but she doesn't have purpose because she's barren. And she shows her sadness to her husband. She declares to him how she feels. And he puts himself in a place to say, but with all the favor that I give you, the way that I am to you, shouldn't that be enough? It's funny how sometimes we get in positions where those that are closest to us, they continue to try to sow into our lives. They continue to try to help us and to encourage us. But if you can't see you, if you can't see who you are, then nobody else can help you get there. And so we find ourselves in this place. Hannah is here where even the favor of her husband cannot match to what she sees as no purpose, what she sees as no true identity. And so she's heartbroken. And so because of that, we go into verse 9. They were eating together. And as they completed their meal, as they finished eating and drinking there in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. And now there was a man by the name of Eli, and he was the priest. And he was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. Now, this is the temple of God. This is the sanctuary. This is where the tabernacle was housed. So the presence of the Lord is here in the temple. This is the church where the presence of God is. And Eli, the priest, or the pastor, if you will, is at the doorpost. He's at the church. He's chilling. And as he's there, he hears Hannah in deep anguish. And the Bible says that she was praying to the Lord. And not only was she praying, she was weeping bitterly. And in her weeping, verse 11 says, she made a vow saying, Lord, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me. Lord, if you won't forget about your servant, but if you'll give me a son, I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. And no razor will ever be used on his head. In other words, she's saying, Lord, if you give me the thing that I long for, I'll make sure that I use it, I'll protect it, I'll keep it covered, and I will always honor you with it. Catch that. Lord, if you give me the thing that I'm asking for, if you give me that thing that I'm longing for, if you give me purpose in who I am, if you open up the doors to allow me to see me, if you give me the opportunity to truly have purpose in my life, I will take that purpose and I will honor you with it. And not only will I honor you, but I'll protect it. I'll keep it covered. This is my promise to you, O God. Here's what's interesting. She's in the tabernacle and she is filled with faith. How do we know that? Well, because she's giving a promise. She's saying, God, this is what I'm going to do with the thing that you blessed me with. So she's in a place where she's weeping and she has anguish. But even through the weeping, even in the anguish, there is an expression of praise. There's praise that she's tapping into even at her worst point. She had enough sense to realize, I have to get to the house of the Lord, because that is where the glory is. That is where his spirit is. That's where the power is. And if I can get to the temple, and if I can honor God with my praise, and with my praise I give my promise, I believe that God will turn this situation around for me. Ooh, I feel the Lord. I feel him. I feel him. And so as this was happening, verse 12 says that Eli looked and he observed Hannah's mouth. And as he looked at her mouth and saw that she was praying in her heart,
He saw that her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. And so Eli thought, she must be drunk. She must be drunk. Now listen, if he thought that she was drunk, that means that there was some activity. If he thought that she was drunk by her expressions, then that means that she must have been belligerent. That means that she must have been, you know, really, really, you know, active in her expressions. The scripture says that he saw her lips, but he could not hear her voice. And so he immediately thought, well, she's drunk. And verse 14 says that he said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. Woman, stop drinking. It's the house of the Lord. Stop drinking. She says to him, no, not so. I am a woman who is deeply troubled, and I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Imagine that, the faith to say, I can just get to this place. I know if I get here, and if I release my burden, if I release the things that are hindering my heart, if I release the way that I'm feeling, if I can just get to the house of God, where the presence of the Lord is, where his dwelling is, where safety is, if I could just get to his house. She says, I was here because I'm deeply troubled. I have not been drinking. I was pouring out my soul. So please, verse 16, do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and my grief. And Eli said to this, he said this to her, he said, go in peace. And may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked. He recognized that she was truly in a place of looking and longing for God to do something for her. He recognized that she wasn't drunk, but she was actually in a state of praise and worship. That she was honoring God with her praise. That she was actually reaching out and crying out to him in the place where the Spirit is, in the right position. And he tells her, go, and may the Lord grant you that which you ask of him. And so she says in verse 18, may you find favor in your eyes. And then she went her way and ate something. And guess what? Her face was no longer downcast. Why? Because as the man of God spoke the word, that word agreed with where she already was in her spirit. And that turned her situation. And so she began to feel encouraged. Lord, I know that I sought after you. I know that I was in your temple. I was in the place where your spirit dwells. And the man of God released something over my life. And so now I can walk in purpose. I can walk believing that you're going to do that thing that I've asked of you. Verse 19 goes on to say, early the next morning they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and then went back to their home in Ramah. And Elkanah made love to his wife, and the Lord remembered her. He remembered her. And in that course of time, verse 20, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And guess what she did with that son? She named him Samuel. And the reason why she named him Samuel, because in Hebrew that means God has placed, or you did exactly what you promised. So she took that thing that she prayed for. She took that place in her heart that she felt was voided. She took that thing where she felt like she didn't have fulfillment in, and she gave it to the Lord and said, Lord, if you bless it, I'll honor you with that very thing. And when God opened the door, when God made provision, she named it to always remind her and everyone else that this was God's doing. This is what the Lord has done. But the one thing that we need to make sure we understand here, we have to look at this and we have to examine it and we have to be very, very clear. This happened because the first thing that Hannah chose to do was in spite of her circumstances, in spite of where she felt empty, in spite of how she felt like she wasn't full, she decided to praise God. She decided, and not only did she decide to praise him, she decided to go to the place where she knew his spirit was. And what I want to encourage us today is that we've got to get out of the habit of just coming to church on Sundays just as a routine or as a tradition. When we come to the house of God, we have to come with a posture of praise. We have to come with an attitude that says, Lord, I may be going through the worst in my life right now, but in spite of what I see, I'm going to praise you and hear what you say. Woo, good God Almighty. Listen, Hannah had every reason to give up. Hannah had every reason to throw in the towel. Hannah had every reason to just say, you know what? My circumstances are okay. My husband loves me. That can be enough. I may not have my own children, but I've got a family. That can be fine. She could have taken that attitude. But Hannah knew what she wanted from the Lord. And again, she was after something greater. It wasn't even just about a child. It was about purpose. It was about actually being in the will of God's plan and path. If you continue to read through 1 Samuel, if you look through all the different chapters, you'll see that later on down the line, God speaks to Samuel at the age of 12, and his life is converted, and he becomes one of the greatest voices in the region, in the nation. He becomes a major prophet, and God used him. And the reason why he was able to be used was because he was first given to him, and he was based out of a promise. What am I saying? I'm saying that if we take on the attitude that says, Lord, I want to pursue you and everything that you have for me. I want to be who you've called me to be. And you couple that with your praise that says it's already done. You have no idea what God can take of what you do, your fruit. And if you honor him by giving it back to him, he can multiply it. And you have no idea what generations will be blessed by the seeds that you've sown. But you see, it starts first with an attitude of praise. Look at your neighbor and say, I've got to praise him. And listen, that means it's not always going to feel good. It's not always going to make sense to you. It's not always going to happen just like that. But family, saints, and friends, can I encourage you today and let you know that in spite of how you feel, you've got to praise him. In spite of how circumstances may look right now, you've got to praise him. In spite of whether or not you truly even believe it in the moment, guess what? You've got to praise him. Because your praise can break you free from your barrenness. Your praise can open the doors of blessing and miracles in your life. I want you to be encouraged this morning. And I want you to stand in belief that it is in your praise where victory can take place. It's in your praise where doors can be unlocked. It's in your praise where victory resides. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord dwells there. So we've got to do better, saints of God, when we come into the doors of this church, this sanctuary. And this is for every church. This is an Elevate Life problem. We don't have that problem here. We're good here. Amen. Amen. Are we good here? We've got to take this approach where it doesn't matter what I'm dealing with, what I'm facing, the circumstances of my life. I have to have a posture of praise because praise will unlock the door. There's an old song that the saints used to sing back in the day in my old background, my old context. And the lyrics would say, praise is the key to heaven. And faith unlocks the door. Praise is the key. We've got to have an appetite to want to praise him. When we come into these doors, man, woman, sister, and brother, we have to have an attitude that says, Lord, you've been so good. You've done so much. And yeah, I have need. I've got things that I'm looking for you to do, and I'm looking for doors to be open in my life. But God, I came here to be in your presence and to honor you with my praise. We've got to stop waiting for other people to push us and prompt us to want to praise him. You've got to take an attitude that says, if no worship team gets up, if not one instrument is played, I'm going to praise him. And if those that are sitting next to me, if they don't want to praise him, Anthony, move. Get out of my way. Because I'm going to praise him. Because he's been too good. He's been too good to me to sit there and act like I don't owe him my best praise. So we have to take that posture. We have to take that attitude that says, Lord, I want to honor you. I want to surrender to you with my praise. This is what Anna says. This is the position that she took. Lord, I need you. I don't know who I am. I'm completely and totally out of position. I can't bear fruit. And I want to bear fruit so badly because I want to honor you with that thing that I birth. Lord, what am I to do? I want to have purpose. She says, but I know what I can do. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you. You have to have crazy praise. And like I said, it's not always going to feel good. It's not always going to seem good. We've got to praise him past our current circumstances. They used to say, you got to see it before you see it. So when you see it, you can praise God for what you saw. Did y'all catch that? I'm going to say it again. You have to see it before you see it. So when you see it, you can praise God for what? For what? Oh, come on, y'all. You have to see it before you see it. So when you see it, you can praise God for what? Amen. We've got to take on that attitude. We have to be people that push in to praising and worshiping and honoring him. When we come into these doors, let's have an attitude and an appetite to praise him. Let's be joyous. Let's be celebrationary. Let's honor him because he's do that and so much more. So I love this story. I love what Hannah did here. I love the position that she took. And because of the position that she took, God honored her. God honored her. Like she said, remember me? God remembered her. And when he remembered her, he gave her something. And that thing that he gave her, that blessing that he gave her, she gave it back to him. That blessing that she gave him, that she gave her, she gave it back to him as a way to honor God for fulfilling his commitment to her. So my question is this. What does it take for us to change our perspective? Are we going to continue to operate out of a space that almost makes it seem as if God owes us? Are we going to continue to operate in this space where we feel like it don't take all that? We don't got to do that. Or are we going to change our understanding, our views, our perspective, and make a decision that says, Lord, I'm going to honor you for everything that you've already done. I'm going to honor you because you're worthy. I'm going to lift up my hands. I'm going to exalt your name. I'm going to declare you as great and mighty. And here's the hard part. And Lord, if you never do anything else. I know some folks didn't like that. But that's a part of that attitude. Lord, if you never open not one more door, I can praise you now just for what you've already done. Lord, if you never do anything else for me, I can praise you for what's already happened. We have to get into that place, into that position where we are committed to honoring God with our praise. It's more than just a weapon. It is a weapon. Praise is a weapon. Because we can use praise, again, to change our climate, to change everything that's around us. We can use praise as a means of changing the things that we're dealing with. But praise is also just our reasonable service. We must be people that desire to praise God. And how do we do that? How do we praise Him? Well, through our sacrifice, through our time, through our commitments, through our finances, through our vices, getting rid of those, laying those at the altar, through our expressions, the clapping of our hands, the lifting of our voice, the raising of our arms. These are expressions of praise. And this is what God is looking for from each and every one of us. Family, we have to change the way that we view this. We owe God praise. Listen, we owe God praise. We can't keep coming in just as routine and just doing what we've always done. This is what mama did. This is what grandmama did. And I don't have anything else going on. You know, I kind of like the way that the music is, and I kind of like the preaching. But, you know, no. We have to come in hungry. We have to come in hungry. We have to come in truly yearning to have an experience and an encounter with God. And that encounter comes by way of us walking in the door with an expression of praise. I come into the sanctuary saying, Lord, whatever it is that you want to do here today, whatever it is that you want to do here, however way you want to change me, however way you want to wreck my life, however way you want to shift me, whatever it is that you want to do, God, I'm coming into this place and I'm laying myself down on the proverbial altar. Have your way. Move in me. That's the kind of attitude that we have to have. And that's not always easy. That's not always easy. That can be challenging. But that's the attitude that we have to have. That's the trajectory that we need to start looking in as far as the way that we maneuver in our faith. We got to be people that are praisers. We have to be praisers. So if you're uncomfortable with that, it's okay. But you got to start shaking out of that. Shake out of your discomfort. Because there is victory. There's healing. There's power in your praise. Do y'all believe that this morning? There's power in your praise. There's anointing in your praise. There's glory in your praise. There's victory in your praise. This is the way that we have to think. And this is the way that we have to approach our faith. This is the way that we have to live this life as people that are praisers.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store. And you can continue to get word every week from Elevate Life Church.